Steve and Marie are both age 68, have $1.5 million saved, and want to leave a large legacy to their kids. But will their current legacy strategy earn them a red, yellow, or green light? You'll find out next. Welcome to Rise in Retirement,
where it is our goal to optimize and simplify your financial situation.
I'm Jet.
And I'm Taco.
We are financial advisors at W.A. Smith Financial Group, a firm trusted by thousands of families and individuals. We work with people all over the United States. Our mission, help you focus more on your life, worry less about your money.
Sounds nice.
Yeah. And we've got Steve and Marie as our hypothetical case example today.
Yeah. 68-year-old couple, retired for a few years, accumulated $1.5 million. They're in great shape. Their number one goal was to leave a legacy for their three children. That's kind of what they've been doing this for. They have great pension, Social Security, and they want the nest egg to go to their kids in the most efficient way. But we're questioning today whether they have the most efficient setup.
Yeah. We, you know, every once in a while we run into a couple or a family who that legacy lever is high on their list. You don't see it a whole lot, you know, so most people, they want to leave something, but it's not an actual planning priority. It's more, hey, if there was money left over, I think we'd like to leave it to our kids. It'd be great if we could, but we're not going to actually go out of our way to plan for that. It's different for Steve and Marie. And you'll see, as we go through the case details, they really do want to build this for their kids. So we're going to talk about what they've done and what they could be doing to potentially leave more to their children, but also leave it to them in a much more tax efficient way.
Yeah. Taxes are key here, and to make sure that the kids are the primary beneficiaries and not Uncle Sam. So if you find today's video helpful, we want to learn more about taxes, be sure, like, subscribe, share, head on over after the video here to riseinretirement.com. We have a ton of great guides and other valuable resources that we'll talk about here in a little bit as well.
All right. So here's the details you need on Steve and Marie. They're both 68 years old. They've been retired for about 5 years now. So they've been doing it for a little bit. They've got $1.5 million saved, and it's largely invested for long-term growth. They've got some risk tolerance. It's traditionally invested, mixture between equities and fixed income and bonds. You know, pretty prototypical is what you'd see. About $1 million of that is qualified or pre-tax. It's mostly traditional IRA. So $1 million of the 1.5, they still will owe tax on. $500,000 is invested in a trust account. So they've already paid income tax on that. So it's non-qualified account. Like Taco mentioned, three kids, they want to pass their wealth on to them equally with no restrictions. And meaning when they pass away, yes, there's a trust involved, but the trust is not limiting their ability to the kids' ability to spend the money. Sometimes you see, oh, well, it's a trust fund, right? And we're going to guard them from the assets. No,
we call it controlling the assets from the grave. Steve and Marie don't want to do that. They trust the kids. They want to see them get the inheritance and use it.
Let's talk a little bit about their income goal, because this is where you said they're in great shape. Yeah. They're in phenomenal shape.
Yeah.
From a financial standpoint, if that's all we were talking about, green light, video over.
Yeah. $7,000 a month is what they spend, what they need gross to live their life. That is all covered. Social Security checks that they receive.
One of the lucky ones.
And a great pension that Steve receives from his employer covers their monthly expenses. So they have zero withdrawal needs from their portfolio. They've never taken money out.
In the 5 years they've been retired, not a single withdrawal.
Yep. Again, at the moment, their plan is to simply see the assets grow, you know, be able to be there in liquid if they need it for an emergency or maybe the one-off type of expense. They've named their children the beneficiaries of the accounts and within the trust. And again, number one goal, when you think about we talk a lot about the five key planning areas. It's an income plan. Well, they don't need income right now.
Right.
Part of what we're going to talk about is the IRS, does make you take income later down the road. So we'll talk about that as part of their plan. But right now, they don't need income. Investment. They have their money allocated for investments.
They're comfortable with the risk allocation.
Healthcare. Again, they have great retiree medical. So healthcare is in really good shape. And then there's estate and legacy, which is their number one, but they haven't done anything. There's no plan there. Tax planning, number two, kind of ties together. They haven't done anything there.
Let me ask you a question, because I think we see this come up a lot with the people that we meet who come through a retirement tune-up financial review, and they sit down, we put a case together for them and help them out. When you get a case like this, a Steve and Marie, where 5 years into retirement, you've been working with them the whole time. So imagine this. And from day one, there was no income goal. And here we are 5 years later, and they still haven't taken a withdrawal. What do you generally see over the next 5 to 10 years? Do you see them all of a sudden start to take withdrawals, or does more of the same happen?
More of the same. More of the same. I mean, we've talked about, it's like a tax torpedo. We've heard that before, right? And that's what they're creating is they're just deferring all this money. Mm-hmm. They're never going to continue to touch it. And then all of a sudden, their Social Security becomes taxed at a higher level because of these required minimum distributions that they're going to have to start taking at 73. So no, generally, if they've gone 5 years during their go-go years, their years where, you know, it's
fun
spending, mm-hmm. every day Saturday, they're not going to touch it later down the road if they haven't touched it now.
Most of the reviews that our advisory team has with clients like this, when we talk to them, hey, how's cash flow? It's really good, Taco. It's really good, Jet. You know, we're not spending everything that's coming in now. Okay, what are you doing with it? Well, it's stacking up at the bank.
Yeah.
That generally doesn't change. And so what also eliminates from the equation is, you know, we mentioned they might need this money for emergencies. What generally starts to happen is they build a nest egg for emergencies on top of what they started retirement with in the bank account. So
exactly.
Before we get to red, yellow, green light assessment, make sure you head over to RiseInRetirement.com. We talk about retirement tune-up financial reviews all the time. It's a complimentary, no obligation appointment. Schedule one of those. You can go to RiseInRetirement.com, schedule your appointment or request your appointment. You can sign up for Ascend 360 Insider. There's all kinds of great information there.
Absolutely. And, you know, whether it's tax planning that's important to you, as we're going to talk about here a little bit, or legacy planning, or the foundation, right? Income planning, investment, it's all part of the retirement tune-up financial review. Click on the link in the description below. Check us out there for that.
So let's break this down. I'm giving them a red light, and this might surprise you. Again, this is not financial. This is not a financial grade here.
Right.
They're doing awesome.
It's based on what their goal is.
Yeah, their goal is to leave a legacy. They want to make sure that they leave a nice wealth plan and a tax-efficient plan to their kids, yet they've done nothing. Their advisor that they're working with has given them zero recommendation. And this, where I see this happening, they're red light because they can do so much more.
Right.
And one of two things generally happens here. You either are a person who has this mentality of, well, I don't need to do any more. I'm going to leave them so much. It's their problem. And my kids will worry that I'm giving them enough. And right. So you get lazy is the way I put it. And you don't leverage your own wealth to create a larger legacy for them.
Absolutely.
Or you ask the advisor and they just don't give you a whole lot back. They're not going that extra mile and saying, well, you could do this, 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 and this. And we should look at that.
Yeah. Well, in some of the major planning, and I'll just start. Yeah, with
let's
one.
Go through what they could.
What,
have done.
What could they do? Well, number one is simple: Roth conversion planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you hear that all the time. Roth conversion. Well, in Steve and Marie's situation here, $7,000 a month coming in—that's $84,000, give or take.
Yeah.
That they have coming in on a gross basis, meaning with standard deduction, all that good stuff. Their taxable income is in like the middle of the 12% bracket.
Firmly under current brackets right now. They're firmly in the middle of the 12.
So when I look at their situation, you know, I believe they're going to have I don't want to call it a problem, right? It's a good problem to have. It's a double-edged sword. They're going to have income coming in at 73 with the required minimum distribution that they don't need, that they're going to have to be paying the taxes on anyways. They're then going to have this giant IRA that's going to pass on to the kids, which is what they want. However,
100% taxable to the kids,
100% taxable. And the taxes have to be paid over a 10-year period, which is generally going to be inherited while the kids are in the prime of their lives as far as earning. So now we're talking potentially, and this is just assuming no other, you know, taxes don't go up, but they're probably paying, you know, 24% or even higher than that. So Steve and Marie could at a minimum convert up to the high end of the 12% bracket. I would prefer to see Steve and Marie go up to the high end of the 22% bracket.
Absolutely.
With staying just under IRMA, which is a Medicare premium increase if you hit over certain thresholds. So that is just some really beginner level planning that we could start to do that this advisor should be doing.
Yeah.
To at a minimum get some money over into a tax-free status. That way all the future growth is tax-free, and when it passes on to the kids, it's tax-free.
Yeah, that's one thing that should absolutely be discussed and thought about. Another thing is the use of wealth transfer and or life insurance strategy. So a lot of retirees, they just kind of discount the use of life insurance because you know most people don't like it. You know, life insurance is something that it's hard for you to anticipate paying for. But what I would tell Steve and Marie is, hey, death benefits are tax-free.
Yeah.
And you guys have wealth that you can use to pay for a life insurance. Imagine a second to die policy.
Yeah.
Not to go into details, but when both of you are gone, this death benefit pays. It's tax-free to your kids. They can use it to help lessen the blow of the taxes they'll owe on what's left in IRA dollars.
Yep.
So just at its simplest core form, that's one thing that they could look at.
Yep.
And then the other thing, and this is a trend we've been seeing a ton, what about gifting some of this money to your children while you're still alive?
Yeah.
Under all the same constraints that you just mentioned, they've got room in the 12% bracket to pull money out of an IRA, pay the taxes, and give it to their kids.
Yep.
Most people get stuck on the gift tax exclusion rules. Well, if you truly understand how that works, you can give millions of dollars to your children during your lifetime and they're not going to pay gift tax on it.
Right.
You know, so you got this annual rule that people don't understand. We're not going to get into that today. I mean, we'll do another video on that, but I just look at this case and it's red light because they're just they and or their advisor, and I'm not sure which one it is, and it could be both of them.
Yeah.
They are not leveraging the wealth that they've created and their awesome income scenario in any remote ways that build this legacy for their children and or their grandkids if they have them.
Yep. Yeah, and I would say, you know, I'm going to put blame on somebody here, is they have an advisor who's not addressing their legacy goal. They have a CPA who does their taxes, who just collects the information and does the preparation for that prior year, who's not addressing a tax plan moving forward. So they got kind of two people that they feel, hey, we have an advisor, we have a CPA, but really they're not collaborating. They're not working together to make sure that they're accomplishing their goal and getting a green light to be as efficient as possible and leaving a legacy to the kids.
I get it. It's hard for people. It might be hard for Steve and Marie to start thinking about strategy where they pay tax on purpose.
Right.
I mean, think about what we're talking about here. We're going, hey, tax brackets are low right now. We don't know what they're going to be in the future. You have the ability to pay tax on purpose right now ahead of when you're going to pay it some other time. And it might cost you and or your family a lot less and create more wealth for them. You have to have someone that's willing to help you see the value in that. Yeah. And so we'll go to big takeaways here. My key takeaway here is that who's the quarterback?
Yeah.
I'm a Browns fan. We would be really good, I think, if we had a quarterback who was decent. And maybe one day you'll be watching this video many years from now, and that will have changed, and I'll be a very happy person. But you got to have a quarterback, and in this case, it should be the financial planner. They should be rallying the troops. They should be talking to the CPA. They should be giving these advice pieces on how to lower, you know, the tax that's paid to the legacy. Somebody has to step up and talk on behalf of the entire group of professionals that you're working with.
Yeah. My key takeaway is don't be afraid of taxes and don't kick the can down the road, right?
Yeah.
We've
the government's doing that for you, by the way.
Yeah, there. You know, we've all been told that for so long, is just, oh, defer, don't pay taxes, let it pay late, you know, pay it later. And who cares about the kids? I'm dead. They're gonna inherit a lot of money anyways. Well, if you can be more efficient and you can, you know, give more money to the kids and their grand, you know, and their kids versus to the IRS and Uncle Sam, do it. It's just a no brainer type of situation to get more comprehensive plan.
Remember when he says that you're not changing your retirement. Nothing's changing for you. You're still living the way you want to live. Your income is still good. Leverage your wealth.
Yep.
I mean, do yourself a favor, do them a favor. So, don't forget, like, share, subscribe to our channel. Make sure you drop us a comment below. Head over to Rise in Retirement, share your scenario, request a tune-up, whatever we can do to help you. That's why we come to you every week on this channel.
And that'll do it for today. We'll see you next time here on Rise in Retirement.